JC Corcoran Podcast.
Here's a little song I wrote about someone who hurt me real bad. My nose has been broke, my eyes have been poked, my ears have been twisted all around. My head has been punched, my face has been scrunched, I spent a lot of time on the ground. My mouth has been smacked, my teeth have been cracked, I've had to spit out a lot of grass. But nothing I say compares to the day when you kick my heart's ass. My lip has been split to where I'm dribbling spit, and I thought for sure that I would die. I've coughed up blood while my face was in mud with my spurs aiming up at the sky. Bottles have been broken off my head while I've been choking on a meal of broken glass. But nothing I say compares to the day when you kick my heart's ass. No, nothing I say compares to the day when you kick my heart's ass. Darling, I never walked away from a fight in my life. I always laid there, bleeding and gasping and hoping that I would live to see you again. I've had guys the size of mountains hurt me so bad I'm amazed I'm still alive. So tell me, how is it possible that a little sweet thing like you is capable of giving a heart such an ass whooping? My butt's been kicked as my head's been sticked in commodes from coast to coast. I've been kicked, punched, smacked, choked, face scrunched, eyes poked, burned into cigarette toast. I've been beat so bad that the doctors had to put me in a full body cast. But nothing I say compares to the day when you kicked my heart's ass. No, nothing I say compares to the day when you kicked my heart's ass. How horrible it feels to be head over heels when you kicked my heart's ass. You kicked my heart's ass.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Yep, you guessed it. The Chinook's Panic Aisle is way open, and you are at jconline.com. It's Tuesday, January 24th, 2023, only 22 days remaining until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We got major stories here today. Everything's fine until probably 7 or 8 o'clock tonight if you're in the general St. Louis area, and then all hell breaks loose, although there's still a lot of conjecture as to what's going to happen. This is a difficult forecast because the ground is already warm, way too warm for snow to accumulate. At the beginning, snow hits the ground, melts immediately. But the snow is going to be coming down at such a rate that eventually the accumulation, or as Steve Templeton, as Channel 4 says, accumulate. How do you get a job as a meteorologist at a top 25 television market without being able to say accumulate? Anyhow, it's going to start piling up. 4 to 6 sounds about right. Dave Murray is right in there. Most of the forecasts are right in there. It's going to be a mess. So tomorrow morning, be ready for anything. But the winter storm warning kicks in officially at 6 o'clock tonight, goes until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. The whole thing is going to be over by tomorrow morning late in the day, and then the cleanup will begin. And then it's going to get a little warm. Now, I say warm for this time of year, 40s. But then you turn the corner after the weekend, you get into like Sunday into Monday and Tuesday, it's supposed to get real cold again, and there is moisture along with that. So again, it's one of those, you know, sort of be ready for anything situations. But, you know, that is the key, be ready. And when you stop to think about it, all of the panic and all the hysteria having to do with weather, especially snow, is pretty misguided. Everybody remembers 1982 and the blizzard, but, you know, the world was a different place back then. For one thing, not everybody had an SUV like we do now. You know, 4 out of 5 cars. Just look, if you're driving right now, look out there. 4 out of every 5 cars, it's, at least it seems that way, is some sort of SUV. Most of them have either four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. And so your chances of getting stuck in the snow really aren't that big. But then again, everybody remembers that thing a couple of years ago where there was ice and people were stranded on the highways until 11 o'clock at night and having to just leave their cars on the road and go walk somewhere where there's a light on and see if there's a hotel anywhere nearby. So I think there's a small part of the population that in the back of their head sort of digs this. You know, it's sort of exciting when a storm comes in. I mean, it must be. Everybody thinks they're going to get rich by going out in a tornado and getting tornado footage that they'll be able to sell to YouTube or something. And so they're standing there while there's debris flying around and you get hit in the temple with a 2x4 going 150 miles an hour. That'll change your day. And then, of course, the reporters, as I was saying yesterday, the obligatory shot from the hardware store where, you know, there's a run on snow shovels. And I always want to ask, what the hell did you do with the snow shovel you had last year? Maybe we could start there. And then you got to have a reporter standing in front of the salt piles. That's obligatory. I mean, my goodness, after all, we are in storm mode. Funny is, do I still have that clip in here? I think I do. When Kent on Channel 4 was actually making fun of the storm mode thing. Let me see what we got. Yeah, here it is.
Because we may have another chance, believe it or not, as we head toward next weekend for yet another snowstorm. Now, that is way out there, 7 or 8 days away. But right now, some of the models are hinting, yes, another one with the same kind of trajectory that can dump pretty good snow. So that's,
is again, there an edict every weekend in December we're going to have a winter
apparently,
storm?
Apparently.
Oh.
Ever since we came up with this storm mode.
I'm sure he heard about that. Kent, could you come upstairs after the show today? All right, 6 p tonight, 6 a tomorrow morning, game on. The other big story, and as I pointed out yesterday on social media, remember where you heard it first, because we had this a week ago, that Chip Carey had been in town, sort of hanging around, perhaps kicking the tires, and was he being considered for the job, shall we say, vacated by Dan McLaughlin? I was pulling for Tom Brenneman from the very beginning, but you know, once we heard the name Chip Carey, it's like, oh, that's the way they're going to go. That's the way they're going to go, because you know, you got the whole St. Louis connection, and then you got the Harry Carey connection and the whole thing. By the way, it is spelled Carey, C-A-R-A-Y. It's not C-A-R-E-Y. Maybe since he's going to be around now for the next 20 years, we should learn how to spell his name. It's short for Carabina, which was Harry's actual last name. He shortened it to Carey, C-A-R-A-Y. But Chip apparently has the job, and even though it hasn't been officially confirmed by the brass downtown at the ballpark in Atlanta, they have already posted the job opening on Bally Sports South. So I don't think they'd be posting a job opening if they still had Chip Carey working there. So I think you can take this to the bank. Chip's been in Atlanta for, I think, what they say, the last 17 years doing play-by-play. He's done a lot of network stuff. He was the Cubs play-by-play announcer for a couple of years back. And by the way, that's really sort of a strange story, too, because this goes back to 2004, and Chip Carey and Steve Stone are doing the Cub games on WGN. And the team that year in 2004 was supposed to have done a lot better. They looked like they were on their way to the playoffs, and they really messed up, and they were just underachieving so badly. And Dusty Baker, who was the manager at that time, was being heavily criticized for the way he was using his players and the way he was using his pitchers. And there were a lot of people on the organization, the fans were like, wait a minute, now this is a better, and you had Carlos Zambrano, and he's one of those hot-headed Latin guys. I hate to, reinforce a cultural stereotype, but, you know, the inmates were running the asylum. Let's put it that way. I'm going to make that clear, because in my baseball league here in Florida, we just had our first practice game over the weekend, and it's like 60% of my team is Latin. These are great guys with great stories, by the way. I was talking to the guy from Venezuela. He was warming up for the game after hours on Sunday, and he had really bright colored uniform, great jerseys and everything, and a V on his baseball hat. I said, what's the V for? He goes, Venezuela. And so we started talking. He was just talking about how I said, do you ever go back to visit? He goes, well, you can go in. You can get into Venezuela. You just can't come back out again. And we were just talking about it. I said, you know, I don't think Americans have any appreciation whatsoever for how freely they can travel. And his eyes just got as big as pie plates, and he was just nodding, looking at me like, wow, you understand. I'm like, yeah, I understand. It stinks, you know. You got family and everything like that. They're in Venezuela. You go back and try to visit them, you're stuck there. That ain't no good. And so the broadcasters on road trips travel on the team plane. And there was a pitcher who actually pitched for the Cardinals for a couple of years after that. Well, about a year. But in 2004, Kent Merker was pitching for the Cubs. And he took it upon himself on the team plane to start yelling and screaming and berating Chip Carey and Steve Stone for the way they were being critical of the team on the broadcasts. And this goes on for a while. Nobody stops him. And then the plane lands, and they get to the hotel, and in the lobby, while everybody's checking, he starts in again. Now, you'd think at that point, somebody from the organization would step in and go, hey, Kent, knock it off. Or at the absolute minimum, just step in and make it stop. But nobody did. And like I said, the inmates were running in the asylum. The Cubs ended up with a shitty year, and that was the end of that. And I don't know exactly how it all played out. All I know is Chip must have called his agent and said, get me the hell out of here. And I think I would have done the same thing. So when people saw the news last night, and again, we had the first mention of this about a week ago. So yesterday when this thing started to percolate again, the first thing I said is just remember where you heard it first. You heard it first with your old bunny JC. And then people started to react. And the reaction, I think, in general is pretty good, certainly in the majority. But, you know, you have that 20% of the people out there who just seem to complain about everything. And the absurd complaints about Chip Carey coming in, including one guy who took exception with his name. Yeah, here's this guy named Matt. I won't say his last name. Where's my glasses? His name is Matt. I won't say his last name. It's still up there. If you go to the showgram with J.C. Corcoran, you can see it. But I'm not going to say it here. But anyhow, Matt complained. He goes, Chip? Chip? He honestly goes by Chip? Is he still in junior high? And all I did is like, well, you know, it's sort of a family thing. His dad went by Skip. And besides, don't you know anybody who flies? Anybody who's ever gone to flight school, especially over at Parks, it seems like they're all nicknamed Buzz. What about Scooter Libby in the White House? Spike Lee, Tiger Woods, Sparky Anderson, Boomer Esiason, Babe fucking Ruth, for God's sakes. I don't know if the guy was just being snarky, because otherwise that's sort of a cheap shot, just making fun of his name. I mean, seems a little dumb. So I think it's a good hire. I think he'll do a great job. He has got lots of excitement in his voice without being hokey. I think he's an accomplished guy. I think it's a great hire, and it's C-A-R-A-Y. Please. So we'll try to get him on the air as part of our broadcasts from spring training in Jupiter, Florida in a couple of weeks. You could see this coming from 2 miles away. They had the grand opening of the armory, and the foundry is popping over there. And didn't take long for the bad guys to find out that there was gold in the Nar Hills. And so they've been smashing windows like, oh, by the way, last night, I have a friend who drives Uber, and he's got police radio, I guess. And he said that there were 3 carjackings in something like 5 hours last night, and they thought that there were more to come. Somebody was out there carjacking like crazy last night. But, you know, the armory, it looks like a really nice place. I haven't been in there yet, but it looks like a fun place. And it's been open, what, 2 weeks, maybe? And bang, 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 one after another, cars with their windows broken in. And they said, well, our security guy, one guy, they got one guy, one off-duty cop, or something like that, you know, a security guy, and apparently like a sophisticated camera system and everything where somebody is apparently watching or supposed to be watching. Doesn't seem like they did that good a job, does it? So that thing will go down in flames like everything else in the city if people don't feel safe going there. And I don't know what the next step in all of this is. They're carjacking just at will. And most of it is after the sun goes down. You know, what's next? They're just going to start doing it during the day? And again, sometimes you have to take a step back and a step away and look at something from a bit of a distance. I've been living for the majority of the time in Florida now for 3 years. And I can tell you that the situation in St. Louis is it looks from a distance now sometimes. And especially when I talk to people and they say, where are you from? And I say, you know, well, I moved here from St. Louis. I still bounce back and forth because I'm in St. Louis a lot. But yeah, St. Louis is where we moved from. They just started inspecting my body for bullet wounds. It's not good, folks. It's not good. And one cop in a parking lot that size, nope, got to do better. You know, and somebody like Frank Viverito, great guy, who for years, for decades, has been arranging for these great, I guess you would say, alternative sporting events. And that's not even an accurate word because, you know, you've got the NCAA basketball tournaments and things like that. But you have a lot of wrestling and swimming and volleyball and more wrestling. And, you know, that's one, and gymnastics. And Frank's been bringing those events in for big crowds, people coming in from all over the country, spending big money, and they get here, they park their car, go into the hotel, and when they come back, the car's gone, or it's been emptied out. Sort of like one step forward, two steps back. And then you want convention business in St. Louis. Yeah, bring the people in for the conventions. They're in town a half an hour, and they've already been mugged. And again, this is another one of those things. You go to other cities, there's cops all over the place. There's just, it's a police presence without it being a police state. It's just police presence. There's a big difference. But you go to, like, you know, festivals and concerts and other things that are, you know, sort of going on in a particular city or community, and there's a police presence. And that's what everybody wants. It's like, just, you know, just so there's some cops around. St. Louis, I swear to God, I go to things all the time in St. Louis. I never see any cops standing around. I never see any police presence. And as long as that's the case, guess what? You're going to get more of the same. And in the same department of more of the same, here we go again, another mass shooting. They're still mourning the loss of all these people south of Pasadena in Monterey Park. This is the shooting in the Asian community where the guy wrestled the gun away from the killer, but 11 killed, 9 injured. And the media is just setting up their cameras to cover all of that when you got another one just outside of San Francisco, another mass shooting, 7 dead. So we've had in this country 39 mass shootings in 24 days. I'm not good at math, but I think that that's more than one a day. And again, nothing will be done. Well, you know, this isn't the time to be talking about legislation and gun control. This isn't the time. When's the time? Tell me when the time is. I'll be there. We're getting what we deserve. You elect people who don't have an end to all this gun violence at the top of their agenda. What do you expect? Oscar nominations come out today. By the time you listen to the podcast, they will probably already have been revealed. Speaking of awards, today at 5 o'clock, we're going to find out whether or not Scott Rolen, who got 63% of the vote last year in his fourth year of eligibility, will finally get that 75% and make it into the Hall of Fame. I think this is wishful thinking. I would like to see him go in. If you're asking me right now, he's going to make it. But if you're asking me right now, is Scott Rolen going to get the 75%? I'm going to say no. And it's a shame. He was a hell of a ball player. I know a lot of people didn't like him. I think those people are wrong. According to the Riverfront Times, it is the end of an era. That's their characterization of this next story. For years, I have wondered why or what the fascination is that the Riverfront Times has with Beetle Bob. Now, for a lot of people, and this probably has something to do with the RFT and the way they've been writing about this guy for the last 35 years, like he's some sort of local, colorful character. He's an example of what makes St. Louis unique. And this is how they've been characterizing this guy. They've been attacking me for almost 40 years. But Beetle Bob, no, he's to be cherished for everybody else. especially anybody who really knows the story on this guy. He's a big mooch. He's a liar. He's a kleptomaniac. I remember being in World News in Clayton once a couple of years back, and the proprietor just walked over and said, Bob, get out of here. You know, come on, get out. They just tossed him right out of the store because they knew it was only a matter of time before he was going to steal something. And for like 40 years, he's been misrepresenting himself to try to get free tickets to stuff, to get into everything. And he somehow successfully convinces people that he has some sort of media outlet or something, or that he has an audience of some sort, and nobody's ever been able to find one. I almost killed him with my bare hands a couple of years ago. It was that Carol King production of the Fox Theater called Beautiful. And it was a really good show, by the way. And as is often the case, they have like a little section, and you go there on a particular night, and it is a media section. So you look around and you see, you know, familiar faces from TV and radio and stuff like that. And so you're all sort of sitting in one little section. So we go to see Carole King, Beautiful, great show. And two seats over from us is freaking Beetle Bob. And a few minutes into the show, one of his buddies, and I was not able to identify the guy, I never saw the guy before in my life, this guy comes walking and they sit down together and they talked during the entire show. During the entire fucking show, these two, and I kept looking over at him like, oh, I was this close. I was this close. But again, it's one of those situations where if I would have done something, I would have been the bad guy. But boy, that's the closest I've been to just knocking somebody out in a long time. Well, according to the RFT, it's the end of an era because Beetle Bob has ALS. And I hate to see anybody get sick, but I ain't shedding any tears for this guy. And if you know anybody who thinks that this guy is some sort of colorful character, you fill him in, okay? 9 o'clock this morning, St. Louis time, the Senate hearing on Ticketmaster kicks off. It will be live streamed. This is going to get interesting. Maybe, somehow, this monopolistic nonsense that's been going on for decades, where Ticketmaster has just been skimming off the top and just inflating our ticket prices for decades now. Maybe, we'll see. REO Speedwagon, Kansas, Stevie Nicks, Billy Idol, Beck, and Phoenix, Coldplay, Nickelback, and Shinedown all announced concert tours yesterday. There's a section on Reddit called Ask Women, and somebody asked them to name the weirdest place a guy's ever taken them on a date. Here we go. 2 weeks into dating, a guy took a girl to his grandfather's funeral and introduced her as his special friend. Number two, a guy drove a woman, takes her to a funeral on their first date. Wow. A guy drove a woman to Taco Bell parking lot, and they watched the animated movie Sausage Party on his phone. It got worse when he tried to kiss her during the sex scene where a hot dog gets it on with a bun. Number three, some creep took a woman to an adult bookstore and tried to get her to watch a movie with him in their gross theater room. A guy picked up a woman for dinner after she chose the restaurant, and he drove the wrong direction for 30 miles before she said anything. It turned out he didn't know where the place was, but he didn't want to admit it. Number five, a guy was supposed to take a woman bowling for their first date. Instead, he took her to his mom's house to help decorate his mom's bedroom. Number six, a guy offered to show a girl his hidden spot in the city where he goes to think and to write songs. It was a filthy underpass. Number seven, a woman was expecting to go to lunch. Instead, the guy took her to a gun range with three of his buddies. Number eight, a guy suggested Dave and Buster's for a first date, which is fine, except his date said she'd rather do something else. He agreed, picked her up, and took her to Dave and Buster's anyhow. Number nine, a guy took a woman to an empty shipping container in the middle of nowhere for their first date. He said he wanted to buy it for her and turn it into a house. And a guy took a woman to a strip club the first time they went out and then tried to get the stripper's numbers. Some guys aren't even really, really trying, are they? Back to the Oscar nominations again here. The Razzies were announced yesterday. Blonde leads with 8. That's that Ana de Armas thing that we were all supposed to believe was fantastic. The Post Cereal Company recently launched a line of instant cereal cups called OK Go. The only problem with that is there's a band called OK Go, and they've been threatening to sue. So Post filed legal papers asking for a court to rule so that they can continue to use the name. Tom Brady had a short response for the Let's Go podcast. He was asked about his future, and he said, Jim Gray, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I would have already fucking done it. You get the idea that Tom Brady has had it about up to here? Late night tonight, Natasha Lyonne, who I interviewed when she was like 17 or 18 years old, and we had a very interesting moment because, and again, now this was a long time ago, so this was well before the atmosphere that we have today with the cancel culture and all this stuff that you can and cannot do. But she's very, if you know who I'm talking about here, she's this woman with that very, very thick sort of Brooklyn accent. And she's been on a bunch of shows. She's hot right now. But I interviewed her for, I think it was like a Woody Allen movie or something. She was like 18 years old. And she was very, very extremely freewheeling, not shy at all. She also has, and this is interesting because I'm not really sure that the word ample precedes any other word other than breasts or bosom, just something titular, something boob related. When's the last time you saw the word ample preceding anything that didn't have to do with bazooms? So somehow the subject of her boobs comes up in our conversation and she says, oh, you ought to see them when they're out. I was like, where does that line form? Anyhow, she's on with Jimmy Fallon tonight. Jimmy Kimmel has Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Rose Byrne. There's a handsome female. Stephen Colbert, Jason Segel, Andy McDowell. Letting the gray hair come out. No plastic surgery, no hair dye, no nothing. Still looks great. She's on with James Corden tonight. And Anna Gasteyer, formerly of Saturday Night Live, on with Seth Meyers. Shailene Woodley, saying that her breakup with Aaron Rodgers was the darkest and hardest time of her life. Here's a guy that I don't know, I don't get. Not only has he never made me laugh, he's never even made me smile. And he's just one of those guys that I don't know how he got in with the group of people at The Office and The Daily Show, but Ed Helms is 49 today, and I find him the most unfunny person on the planet, maybe next to Sebastian Maniscalco and Dane Cook. Mary Lou Retton, 55, in an interview we did with her back in, I want to say probably 94, there was a memorable moment during which she pointed out to me that she won a gold medal before she even had her first period. That doesn't seem right, does it? She's 55 today. Nastassia Kinski, German goddess, 62. Yakov Smirnov, Russian comedian, what a country, 72. Worked with him many times at the Westport Playhouse. Aaron Neville, 82. Oh, can we bring in former Saturday Night Live cast member Horatio Sanz here?
Okay, Aaron, why don't you start it off? Let's do it.
Okay, I'll start it off. Oh, say, can you see, mother,
All right. We get it. Yeah. Neil Diamond, 82. Ray Stevens. Mr. Branson himself, 84. Warren Zevon was born on this date in 47. Belushi in 49. Steve Jobs unveiled the Macintosh personal computer to a group of Apple shareholders with a dramatic presentation that shocked the crowd when the Mac spoke for itself. Ted Bundy got the electric chair in Florida on the state in 89. Halle Berry married her second husband, Eric Benet, on this date 22 years ago in 2001. They had an ironclad prenup in that thing. He got nothing after the divorce. And it was 6 years ago today in 2017. La La Land tied a record for the most Oscar nominations with 14. The next month, it won 6 of those Oscars and suffered that embarrassing moment when it was wrongly announced as the Best Picture winner. And finally, a high school cafeteria worker in Louisiana was arrested for selling pot brownies to the kids. School officials say the brownies had a negative effect on academic performance. Boy, the jazz band never sounded better. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, January 24th, 2023 is in the can. 22 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. We're here every weekday morning right about this time. Winter storm warning in effect, 6 o'clock tonight till 6 o'clock tomorrow. I'll be safely tucked away in my studio. We'll be here to hold your hand and walk you through it. And until then, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.